everybody, and welcome to the PHLY Eagles podcast. Bright and beautiful on a Monday, high noon, Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, and I promise we will get to the draft stuff. But we have real Eagles news at the top of the show. Zach Berman, why don't you give us the stone cold newsman update?
Devontae Smith is signing a 3-year contract extension with the Eagles. But there's more to this. The Eagles are exercising his fifth-year option. So the 3-year contract extension actually starts in the 2026 season. So it's 2026, 2027, 2028. Devontae Smith, of course, already under contract for this season.
Does it start in the 2025 season?
No, that's the fifth year. Yes, he's under contract this year.
Got it.
Next year, that's what I'm saying. So it's really...
Yeah, so it's like a five-year...
It's really a five-year deal. The numbers have come out from multiple reporters, 3 years, $75 million in new money. But if you look at it based on the contract that he's already under, it's really like a 5-year, $98 million contract. So bottom line, the Eagles have one of their best players locked up now for the next five seasons. And it's we'll get into kind of the dynamics of the deal, but the Eagles are able to get this done before Justin Jefferson, before Ja'Marr Chase, before Amon-Ra St. Brown, before Jalen Waddle, right?
CeeDee Lamb,
exactly. And there's some continuity on the offensive side. And because they were able to exercise that fifth-year option, it allows Devontae to get the money now, right? He doesn't need to wait 2 years. But the Eagles can also spread this out a little more than you would if you just signed someone to a 3-year deal. So we'll get into it, but it certainly makes sense from both sides if you think about the incentives for both sides.
We have been talking about this for a couple months now, that the expectation was that this was coming at some point. The Eagles would have wanted to get this done sooner than later. My initial read here from all the terms you talked about, pretty team-friendly, don't you think?
Yes, that's my read too. Now, the new money, $25 million a year, that's really good. That's puts him among the top five receivers.
But it doesn't start for another 3 seasons.
Exactly.
By which point it'll probably be at the bottom end of the top
receivers.
Yeah,
so that's kind of the push-pull here. And so team-friendly in that regard. Now, the flip side to that is the signing bonus, when we'll see what the signing bonus is, that kicks in right away. Devontae gets that right away. So he would have needed to wait 2 years for that, potentially a franchise tag, right? So now he gets that money right away. That's the incentive from the player's perspective, and he gets locked in. But certainly, I would imagine if Devontae hit the free agent market in 2026, or after the 2025 season, then he's getting much more than a 3-year, $75 million contract. He would just need to wait 2 years to do that. So it does strike me as good terms for the Eagles. But I can understand the incentive from Devontae's perspective.
Now, because of the way it's structured, there is the case that maybe like part of the Hassan Reddick trade was to free up cash to spend on this now. Do you think those two are related, or do you think that because the money doesn't really kick in for a couple of years, that they're not really that related?
Well, it is cash up front, and we've talked about it on this show, that one of the benefits of how the Eagles structure contracts, there's some teams, and I hear this from GMs, they stand up there and they say, we're going to pay as you go, right? Well, pay as you go makes sense in terms of you don't get these cap hits if you cut a guy. But the reason the Eagles are able to structure contracts like they do, they give the bonuses up front. The player gets the money up front. So any cash that the Eagles have on hand can now be allocated to Devontae, right? Cash that they were going to pay to Hassan goes to Devontae. Historically, they've been able to pay, like they've been willing to pay. So I don't know if I would make it 1-1, but yeah, certainly cash that was going to go to one player is now going to a different player.
We were like sort of wondering why it even took this long. I think there's at least like a 1% chance that this offer was just on the table for a couple months and Devontae just hadn't checked his phone and like hadn't bothered to even...
You think so?
Answer any questions about it. It's like, oh, yeah, all right, I'll get to it eventually. It's too busy just sitting in a dark room.
Yeah, he's come to Philly for the start of the offseason program today. He looks at his phone. He's
finally,
like,
yeah,
oh, man, they have this offer.
Right. Well, I guess, yeah. This unread message from 6 weeks ago.
And this has been something
meanwhile, the Eagles think he's stewing. Like,
I know one takeaway that other people have had on this is that he gets the same per year as AJ Brown. there's nuance there. AJ's new money kicked in the 2023 season this past year. Devontae's new money kicked in the 2026 season, or kicks in the 2026 season. Presumably a contract in 2026 would be a higher cost. But from on a surface level, you're not saying you're paying Devontae more than AJ. You're not saying you're paying AJ more than Devontae. Like, there is probably the number that had come out was $25 million a year. We were talking about that number. So right. He gets that.
From the team's perspective, you let the agent frame exactly. It however they want to frame it.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't really matter to you.
Yeah. So in essence, it's a five-year, $98 million or $97, $98 million deal. The same way, like, A.J. Brown was a four-year, $100 million deal, but the Eagles had the last year of his rookie contract also. So that was really like a five-year, $102 million deal or whatever it was. So, yeah, so there's the, public framing of it, and then there's the bookkeeping of it. And from the bookkeeping of it, the Eagles are looking at this as a five-year deal.
And I also think from a, how are these guys going to coexist into the extended future? Like, the important thing here is that now that Devontae is locked up and has his deal, he doesn't need to be, incentivized exactly. to chase extra receptions or extra benchmarks to fight for the next contract anytime soon, right? Whereas A.J. Brown is now the one with the clock ticking.
Yes, you're right. But it's not like the clock is nearing zero right now. I think there's a two-year window here where maybe a one-year, two-year window where the Eagles don't need to be worrying about that per se. There is going to be a point in time where you say, all right, can you pay two wideouts this money? Also, the optics of it, like, everyone's competitive, right? There's a lot there. But I think the Eagles have a window here of 1 to 2 years where this is not a question.
I mean, it's also, just from a, you look at the average over the course of the deal, it's kind of wild that he's making, the same amount of money as Landon Dickerson.
Yeah.
I like Landon Dickerson, too. Yeah. But he is so much more valuable. It's hard not to view this as not a steal, but a big win for the Eagles.
As good value for the Eagles, sure.
Yeah.
And that's the, it's the old Joe Banner thing of trying to get the deal done early for this reason. Like, the incentive for the players, the leverage on the player's side is always going to free agency, okay? But when you're a first-round pick, unlike a second-round pick, like Landon Dickerson was 1 year out of free agency, when you're a first-round pick, you say, all right, you can wait, but you have to wait 2 years, right? So you can sign for $75 million in new money now, or you can wait to sign, let's say, $100+ million in new money 2 years from now. There's different schools of thought in terms of what's best. Sometimes you're like, all right, there's injury risk, there's performance risk, there's so many variables at play. You get locked up now. That's the incentive for the player.
And I also, to be fair, we're talking about those other deals, but I mean, Devontae Smith is awesome. He is not Ja'Marr Chase. He is not CeeDee Lamb yet. Justin Jefferson, he's probably better than T. Higgins, but all those other guys who are going to get paid, those guys are bona fide A1 yeah. guys who have proven it. And Devontae has been awesome, but if you were to take away A.J. Brown, who knows exactly yeah. if he would produce it at quite that
sure.
level.
Also, the benefit of doing this now too is he's going to hit the market again at 28, 29 years old, right? It's not as if he signed a 5-year extension that kicks in. He signed a 3-year extension. So he'll have another shot at this before he turns 30.
Anybody else that we should be aware of in terms of potential contract extensions looming now that they've gotten Dickerson and Mailata and Devontae Smith done?
Well, the player that I think people speculate on is Milton Williams. I'm curious your thoughts. Do you think Milton Williams is an extension candidate? From his perspective, I wonder, play this year out and see what you can get on the open market. I mean, that he strikes me. Look, far be it for me to give Milton Williams contract advice. He's fine on his own. But there's going to be Jalen Carter here. Jordan Davis plays a different type of role. But the Eagles have other guys that they're paying. I think Williams is a good player. I think Williams is one of those guys who could get paid more elsewhere than he does here. That said, The Eagles are losing Josh Sweat, or I shouldn't say losing Josh. Josh Sweat's contract's expiring at the end of the year. Brandon Graham's contract's expiring at the end of the year. Like, the Eagles need to figure out who's a part of this defense beyond this season. And if they identify Milt Williams as that type of player, he would be the most likely candidate.
Yeah, I think from the Eagles' perspective, I would definitely be interested in signing Milton Williams to an extension, especially one that is relatively team-friendly, right? Because he doesn't have these gaudy sack numbers that would get him paid a ton on the open market. I think you're probably right that if he hit the open market, he would make a lot more than he could make in an extension this year. So it's up to him whether he wants to bet on himself. But, I mean, he's 25 years old. He's this incredibly athletic player with position versatility and the ability to make plays as a pass rusher. I think there's like untapped upside with him left still. And especially if Jordan Davis is not going to turn into the pass rusher that the Eagles initially thought that he could. Yeah, I would love to lock up Milton Williams. I don't know how he feels about that
sure
prospect.
I just want to raise attention to this because I was thinking about it on the drive-in this morning. And we say the Eagles like to get these deals done early and they don't let homegrown talent out the door. It is true. Like, if you think about the last 10 to 12 years, the only like really productive draft pick who they let leave was Miles Sanders, maybe Halepulavati Vaitai, right? But just this list, this is since Howie Roseman took over. Landon Dickerson, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts, Jordan Mailata, Josh Sweat, Avante Maddox, Dallas Goedert, Isaac Seumalo, Carson Wentz, Zach Ertz, Lane Johnson, Vinny Curry, Michael Kendricks, Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelsey, Riley Cooper, and Brendan Graham.
Oof, man. Boy, does Riley Cooper stick out like a sore
thumb. Those are the
there.
Eagles draft picks who signed multi-year contract extensions with the team. Nate Allen, Jalen Mills, Derek Barnett returned on one-year deals. Nelson Aguilar played on a fifth-year option. But you look at some of those names there. I mean, obviously, Kelsey, Johnson, Cox, Graham, Eagles Hall of Famers. Devontae Smith, Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata, Josh Sweat, like Pro Bowl level players there. Jalen Hurts, obviously, you know, franchise quarterback. Carson, when they signed him, franchise quarterback. Zach Ertz, you know, Pro Bowl level player. I think Eagles Hall of Famer. You know,
I would say so.
Yeah. So I mean, look at
better
that.
Better than the guy whose number they soft retired.
Yeah, Brent Selleck, true. And on that list, 13 of those deals were done before the player even like reached his contract year. I saw a tweet from Greg Erzenthal from the NFL.com's Greg Erzenthal, friend of the show. What, 4 Gs? 3 Gs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, 3 Gs.
3 Gs.
Sorry.
60% Gs.
Yeah, 60% yes. Gs. Yeah. Greg Rosenthal said that like the Eagles are a team that like prepares for the test, and the Cowboys and the Jaguars are teams that like study the night before. I'm not saying the Eagles have this all figured out, but there is a large enough sample size to know that if you're a good player drafted by the team, they're going to try to sign you as soon as they can.
Well, let me ask you this, Zach. As a something of an Eagles historian of at least recent vintage, why do you think it is that all those years ago, Joe Banner made this a priority?
Yeah, so I'll give Joe credit for it. Actually, the NFL have changed the contract rules, the NFL and the NFLPA. Joe and the Eagles used to try to sign guys like 2 years in, you know, as soon as they could, right? And they got some good deals there. And basically their perspective was kind of what I outlined, that the team can save significant money by acting early. If you make good bets, and you're not going to hit on all your bets, but if you make good bets, and from the player's perspective, like you get life-changing money earlier than risking going to the open market. As I said, injury risk, performance risk, there are a handful of variables that could take place.
I mean, that list of guys you had, how many of them turned out to be bad contracts? Like Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Kendricks.
Probably overpaid, yeah.
Yeah, but...
But yeah, I mean, really, more often than not, if you like what you've seen a guy in-house exactly. who you know better than everybody else after 3 seasons, yeah, I mean, it's a good bet. And it's actually like... I know we compare it to the rest of the league, but it is kind of wild that this is not how most of the league operates.
No. And it's, well, because there's a few things. First off, you have to be willing to pay a lot of cash early, right? Like there needs to be an incentive for the player to sign the deal. Number one. Number two, you need to have the type of like midterm and long-term strategic thinking to be willing to see what your books are going to look like 3, 4, 5 years out, right? That's part of this. It's something like I've spoken to people about this, and at one point the Eagles projected that the type of cap savings that they had from these types of contracts allowed them to go and sign a marquee free agent on the open market, just from what they think the delta between the contract they signed the player on and what that player would have hit on the open market. But again, like the players don't do this blindly. They know that if you go into free agency, you're going to make the most possible money that you can. That said, there is considerable risk in doing so, you know? So I think that's the push-pull here from the player's perspective.
Yeah, Shea correctly points out that the Riley Cooper contract did not age well either.
Yes, yeah, thank you, yeah.
Although to say that it didn't age well is unfair to the fact that it looked ridiculous at the time,
yeah. So yes.
There you go. All right, well, the players are making a bet on themselves, Zach. And you can make a bet, too, if you open up that Bet Parks app on your phone, because we are brought to you by the Bet Parks app. Get in the zone with Bet Parks sports app. The money is in the moments. What events are coming up? I think we all know. Big game Wednesday night. The Sixers play-in game against the Miami Heat. Do you want extra incentive? Do you want to go with the emotional hedge and bet against the Sixers so that either way you're feeling happy afterwards? That's up to you. But I think we're all looking forward to that game on Wednesday, and we know that the money is in the moments, so you can win big with all-day action. Win your first $10 bet and earn $125 in sports bonus bets. You play for fun. You love to win. You bet. Download the app and play along with us. Must be 21 or older. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants to help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I was in Wawa the other day, and I saw on the center display all the Olipop, and I'm impressed because Olipop's blowing up here. And if you want your Olipop, you should know what it is. Olipop is the world's first functional soda with a classic soda taste and the benefits of plant-based fiber, prebiotics, and other botanical ingredients to support gut health. Olipop is a new kind of soda with only 2 to 5 grams of sugar and 9 grams of fiber per can. Olipop is available online and available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including the most recent launch at all Wawa stores. Olipop's debut in Wawa couldn't be more of a match made in heaven. A delicious, healthy drink meets a convenience store, both adored by a cult following. The two flavors debuting in Wawa are Classic Root Beer and Strawberry Vanilla. Those are the two most popular flavors that Olipop has. Use the code PHLY20 for 20% off your next Olipop order. The discount only applies to one-time orders, not to subscription orders. Olipop is sold online, drinkolipop.com, or on Amazon, and it's available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including Wawa, Target, Sprouts, Wegmans, ShopRite, and GoPuff. You're more about the mouth popper than I am.
That's okay. Somebody's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it.
Last thing before we get on to our approximation of the Eagles big board, Zach, which is a fun exercise that we underwent over the weekend. Do you think that this, the question is in the chat, do you think this affects A.J. Brown's future with the team in any way?
Not short term, no. I do think there's a 1 to 2 year window here where the Eagles have, from the way I see it, the best wide receiver combination in the NFL. I know the Dolphins, the Bengals could push back on that. I'm willing to, like, both would be totally reasonable. There's some days I might take the Bengals, some days I might take the Dolphins. I really like AJ and Devontae. So I don't think this affects them this season. Maybe after the season they have to take a look at it, but I think, like,
what about Wandale Robinson and Darius Slayton?
Yeah, that doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
No, nor does...
You might have Malik Nabers soon enough.
Nor does Michael Wilson and, well, it's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. soon, I imagine. But I don't know. The
you
Cardinals,
think in New York?
What? No, the Cardinals.
Well, I was talking about the Giants. Oh. I said Wandale Robinson and
exactly.
Darius Slayton.
Yeah, then I was switching to...
Well, I know, but I was... Okay, whatever. We're talking past each other here.
This is Wandale Robinson and Darius Slayton.
And I said, but it could be Malik Nabers soon.
It could be Malik
Nabers. And you said, no, it will be Marvin Harrison.
No, I was talking about the Cardinals.
Well, I know, but...
Yeah, okay. I was just thinking of
other... I don't know why you went to the Cardinals.
I was thinking of other bad wide receiver combinations in the NFL.
You forgot their best wide receiver.
Your boy.
Greg Dortch.
Greg Dortch, yep.
Not even close.
So, yeah, I think cap-wise they can make this work for a year to two, for the next 2 years. What do you think? Like, do you think the personality dynamics are the issue here? Do you think the cap is the issue here? The next contract for AJ is the issue here? What's the...
I don't think that the cap is the issue because, as you talked it, like, it's not really going to even be a cap crunch for another 3 years, right? And if you have really good players, you'll find a way to make it work cap-wise. I do think that eventually I would be surprised. Like, I do not think that they're going to be the starting wide receivers together for the Eagles for the next 5 years. I just think that's not how the NFL works. I think eventually something will, you know, push will come to shove somewhere, but I don't think that needs to be anytime soon.
Yeah, I do think... offensively, at least, there's a window here, right? You're looking at Saquon as a two-year investment, right? Dallas Goedert, I don't think, is on the team beyond the next, like, beyond 2 years from now, right? Or in this role beyond 2 years from now. I really think you're looking at your 2024-2025 season as the window with this core group of talent. And that's why when we talk about the Eagles drafting a wide receiver or drafting a tight end, right? There is going to be a transition here, maybe after the 2025 season, where you have some guys, like, you have your offensive line in place, you have Jalen Hurts in place, you have Devontae in place, maybe you have AJ in place too. But when you look at, like, the age and the contracts, certainly at running back, at tight end, there's going to be an eventual transition. So there's a chance here in 24 and 25 when the Eagles could have, at least on paper, one of the best offenses in the NFL.
All right. Well, let's see if they are going to buttress that with offense in the draft. Zach, let's talk a little bit about our big boards here. Now, part of the reason for this, to lift the curtain, we want to get some graphics in for the actual draft show weekend. So we want to get this approximation of the Eagles' big board together. This is not how Zach and I would rank the board ourselves. This is our guess as to how the Eagles might have it ranked. And so we each went 1 to 80, and we're averaging these out, and we're going to hash out some of these orderings on the show before we can, you know, submit it to the graphics department. Does that sound good, Zach?
Works for me, yes.
All right. Now, we also decided...
Now, I just want to interject real quick. As you were saying that, I'm not as good at divorcing what I think compared to, like, how I think the Eagles will think, because I've almost... train my mind to try to think the way the Eagles will think on things.
Oh, okay.
Right? So, no. So there are certain... So I've...
You think you've just become Howie Roseman? You just...
I don't think
you've incepted yourself into him?
No, but when you try to put your mind in the mind of the people in that building over 13 years, then there are times when, like, you start to prioritize things or emphasize things that might be important to them, but if I was covering the Cowboys, it could be different, right? So, yeah, so I that's a roundabout way of saying that I'm not as good at like, this is what I, at, what's the, it's the forecasting versus the evaluating, right? Sometimes sure. I kind of meld those two things together.
Okay. Well, let's see how the process goes about. We have also decided not to do quarterbacks here.
Yes,
they're not drafting a quarterback. You know, I'm sure that they have done their homework on these guys, but there's no way for us. I mean, they would just be at the top of the board. It's not that interesting. All right, so we both have Marvin Harrison Jr. as number one on the board, so he will be number one. I think we can agree about that. You have Rome Odunze number two, and then Malik Nabers 3 and Joe Alt 4. I have Malik Nabers 2. Dallas Turner 3 and Rome Odunze 4. By the averages, that puts Nabers at 2, Odunze at 3, Turner at 4, Alt at 5. Do you have any objection to that ordering at the top?
Totally good on that.
Okay. Now, how do you feel about, like, I mean, they're not going to get Dallas Turner, right? Yeah. He's going to go too early. But I just, this is one where, knowing what the Eagles care about, what they think about things, position value-wise, that's why I put him over Adunze. All the way up at number three.
Yeah. So for full disclosure here, for the audience watching, the viewing audience can see this, I have my spreadsheets.
Old school.
And I have them in tiers. And so, yeah, I tend to view the draft horizontally as opposed to just vertically.
Like, yeah, so do I, so, Zach. But that's not the exercise.
I'm trying to do a show where I'm explaining my thought process to the audience. So I have a tier where it's the major trade tier.
Sure.
What I was saying is that I have no issue with how this tier is sequenced. If you wanted to, if Dallas Turner was above Adunze, I am totally fine with that. I would have an issue if Terrion Arnold was above Adunze, right? Or something like that. But I think of the tier as, yeah, I'm good with however this is sequenced. And I think we kind of are in agreement on what this top five should be. I love Dallas Turner as a prospect. I have no issue with if he'd be above any of the wide receivers when you talk about the position need and the position value.
So I will tell you this. The player in the top 20, who we both had in the top 20, who we had the biggest difference on, is Leiatu Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA. I have him at number 5. You have him at number 16. Tell me why you are not down on him, but why you would expect that the Eagles would not have him higher.
The medical question, right? I mean, this is someone who was not, who when he was at Washington was like medically retired, right? So yeah, that's kind of my question there. And I think the tape is great, but I don't think he's like an off the charts athlete. And so if you have the medical question and you have the off the chart and you don't have the off the chart athleticism, which like Jalen Phillips, when he had that medical question, he was kind of athletically was really superior. I have him in the stick and pick category, not in the slight trade up category. So you have him.
You've got major trade, slight trade, stick and pick. You've got him in stick and pick.
I have him in stick and pick. Exactly.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Now, let me also ask you about, you have a difference there between Olufoshanu and J.C. Latham.
Yeah.
One of them in major trade, the other in slight trade. Why differentiation there?
Yeah, good question. I love J.C. Latham for the Eagles. And I think he's like a day one guard. As I've said, who can play tackle? I think Fashanu's an elite tackle who there's been some post hype fading on him, but I just love the player that I think he's a better tackle prospect than Latham is, and so that's why I have him above that. But again, he's kind of on the bottom of my major trade part.
Okay, so just to set it up here. Marvin Harrison 1, Malik Nabers 2, Rome Adunze 3, Dallas Turner 4, Joe Alt 5, Olufoshanu is 6, Terrion Arnold, the Alabama corner, is 7, and then J.C. Latham is 8. Those are the 8 players that we both had in our respective top 10s. Then comes Leiatu Latu, because I had him 5th, you had him 16th. After that, rounding at the top 10 is Quinyon Mitchell, the Toledo corner. You had a 10, I had a 12.
Okay, yeah, I would actually veer more toward you there, in that when you think of the Eagles profile, he's a small school or a mid-major guy, if you will, non-BCS.
Well, he did play against Ohio State. The next two are Troy Fautanu and Amarius Mims. I wouldn't mind bumping Mitchell below both of those guys if you wanted to. If you wanted to move things around.
I am with you there.
Okay.
I'm with you there. So I was looking at him more when Mitchell's going to be off the board. But you probably shouldn't stack a board that way. By the way, in the chat, I have this. I printed it off, so when we're doing the show, I don't have to keep jumping back and forth. I obviously have this on my computer. I'm not like a 7-year-old man who needs to print everything off. So, I just want to make that abundantly clear. Sometimes when you have a bunch of tabs, you can trip up.
I think it's reasonable.
And it's not. One thing is, I listen back to the show, I want to speak more clearly and fluently and stop buying time as I'm looking for something on my computer.
Mm. I've got your back here. I think it's reasonable.
Thank you.
It is a funny visual, but I think it's reasonable.
And it's not all on one piece of paper. I have 2 pieces of paper here as well.
All right. So then after that top 12, we go to Brian Thomas from LSU, who is one spot ahead of Brock Bowers. Now, Brock Bowers is another player in the top 20 who we had a big difference on. Yep. You had him at 9. I had him at 19.
Yeah. I probably had him too high. Look, I get it. You and Shield will hit me over the head over the tight end history.
Do you really believe that they would take Brock? I mean, you have him at 9, but in this area we have. Following Brock Bowers is going to be Cooper DeJean and Talese Fuanga. You really believe they would take Brock Bowers over both of those guys?
I mean, if they're all on the board, probably not. Unless they have Brock Bowers in a tier of like future All-Pro, right? And they don't have Fuanga or DeJean in the future All-Pro tier. That's the only nuance here is that I understand the position part of it from an evaluation perspective when they have the future role projection. If they view Brock Bowers as a top of the league player, as a blue chip player, then he could be in a different tier. But no, I won't fight you on the Brock Bowers thing. I'd be happy to put Fuanga over DeJean. My gripe is push back.
Fuanga and DeJean over Bowers?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I would push back more on like I really like DeJean. If there were other corners who were like pushed over DeJean, then I think DeJean's a really good player.
So just knowing the Eagles, would you put Fuanga over DeJean or DeJean over Fuanga?
Fuanga over DeJean.
Okay, so Fuanga, DeJean, Bowers goes 14, 15, 16. Now, there's one other player in here who we have a big difference on, and that's Byron Murphy. The defensive tackle from Texas. I have him at 14. Hmm. You've got him down at 26.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to keep spending draft capital on D tackles. And I think Murphy's kind of...
Certainly not a position that they care about.
It is a position that they care about. It's also a position where they spent their last two first-round picks. I don't know if Murphy is the type of exception that you do it. He's like, he's 6'1", right?
He's undersized.
I think he's
Aaron Donald.
So is he Aaron Donald?
No, of course
not. If you told me he's Aaron Donald, yeah. I like Murphy. I think Murphy, I don't want to compare Murphy to Andre Dillard. I think it's one of these things in a bad defensive tackle year. Mm. He's the top guy in a bad defensive tackle year. And I think that there's just positions that are more of a need that they still value where there's talent that I find comparable or better.
Here's what I actually found clarifying about this exercise is when you lay it out like this, like the odds of them getting someone at 22 that they're going to be happy with.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Are low. Fairly long, right? Yeah. I mean, I think that as much as I have talked about like not wanting Brock Bowers in the first round, I would sort of view him as like the last guy who would be acceptable if you sit at 22 and take. And even then, like, I wouldn't feel great about it. I would probably rather, and I would say more like, you know, Fuanga or DeJean. But even that, you're talking about, like, 13, 14 players. Now, there's four quarterbacks who are going to go. So all you need is four teams to deviate from your board to get one of your guys. But that high in the draft, like, the likelihood of that, it's not great. And so, like, this exercise made me feel a little bit worse about the player they may get at 22 if they stay there. And maybe that's why they won't stay.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Like, you always hear Howie say, we need to have 22 guys on our board that we're comfortable taking. I don't know if there's 22 guys where you say, all right, we're happy with this guy at 22. So I think you need to have a trade worked out on both sides. Like, all right, we're going to get up to 15 and we're going to get up to 16. The other thing that, and we'll get into this more next week, but when you look at the needs of the teams drafting in the late teens and like a 20, you know, you look at the Bengals, you look at the Steelers, there's teams that are going to be in the market. You look at the Rams, there's teams that are going to be in the market for offensive tackle. So the Eagles might need to make a jump. If there's an offensive tackle that they really like, you're talking about a jump maybe to like right past the Saints pick to try to get up there.
Mm. All right. So to keep this thing going, at 17 is going to be Jared Verse. And that's one where I feel like, you know, that would be relatively disappointing if that was the pick there. Number 18 is going to be Tyler Guyton, who I had at 17. You had at 21. Next up is going to be Nate Wiggins, the cornerback from Clemson. Mm-hmm. And then we have a tie to break between Byron Murphy and Chop Robinson, who we both put at 20. I would argue for Byron Murphy over Chop Robinson.
I'm fine with that. He's the higher rated player on the boards of many that I respect. So certainly.
And then you get to Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback from Alabama, who is our number 22 player, if you want to just, you know, joke about the number.
How would you feel about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, if they stuck and took him at 22, I think that would be relatively underwhelming.
Who's 18 again?
18 is Tyler Guyton.
Okay, so that's probably more realistic when you think of...
Right, the four quarterbacks.
The four quarterbacks going. Yeah.
That is actually, like, I could accept that.
Okay.
Because you can sell me on this as a guy who we think has Pro Bowl upside.
Mm-hmm.
I would actually prefer him to Verse, even though I had Verse two spots ahead. But yeah, I feel like Kool-Aid McKinstry is like, you know, you would want to get a little bit back for taking him in the first round.
Yeah, I think with Kool-Aid McKinstry, you would need to determine what's the cornerback tier. Because I actually think when you get past Kool-Aid, right? So we talked about Arnold, Mitchell, DeGene, Wiggins, and McKinstry. I think there is a drop off.
There's a big drop in corners here. We don't have another one until about 38.
Yeah, so it could be the type of thing where you're like, all right, maybe this isn't the ideal value at 22, but we want to come out of this with a corner or an offensive lineman, right? And there's a drop off there, and it's almost like the baseball argument. Like baseball, you can't trade your draft picks. So you're like, well, we really like this guy. And this is the player that we want, but if we don't take him now, we're not going to get him. So it could be the type of thing where, all right, this guy is actually the 25th, 26th person, but he's in this tier, and we want to take a corner or a tackle from this tier.
Well, and this is, I mean, to your horizontal point,
yes.
You know, it is unlikely that they're going to have, I mean, they will have talked it through
exactly.
Ahead of time to know who they're going to take, but it's unlikely they're going to have, you know, significantly different grades for guys at this level.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to preference,
yeah.
Both like position value and how the board maybe stacked the rest of the draft.
Yeah, I heard, by the way, so Dane Brugler and his Kool-Aid McKinstry
write-up
capsule, he compared him to James Bradbury.
Yes.
And like, that's not a bad thing to me. James Bradbury's had a good career.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, if they can get like 8 years of James Bradbury, that's
real good years.
That's a really good pick, I'm saying. So, I was listening to a different show where it was like, "Ooh, that scares you," and I'm like,
"Oh, I don't think that."
I was like, "No, that would appeal to me."
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just a player comp. It doesn't. I'm not taking it as this is who he's going to be.
Okay,
but yeah. I mean, if he turned into James Bradbury, of course that'd be great.
That's a good pick. Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
I just want to give James Bradbury a little love. I think he's getting knocked a lot. He's been a good player.
Graham Barton, the Duke offensive lineman, comes in at 23. Then we have a three-way tie here to break, Zach, between, and this is very cute from just a groupthink of us. You have Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, and Kingsley Suamataya in order, 22, 23, 24. And I have them in order, in reverse order, Suamataya, A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, 26, 27, 28. We've clumped them together. I actually don't mind putting Xavier Worthy at the top of that list. That doesn't bother me.
Yeah,
I'll take yours on that one.
I really like Mitchell. I said that on Friday's show. Worthy to me, you can't find that speed anywhere. So if you're talking about someone who has a chance to be Deshaun Jackson, has a chance to be Tyreek Hill, not in terms of like the player, but the impact on the game in terms of what that speed gives you, then the only time you're finding that is at the top of the draft.
All right, another tie to break here between Jackson Powers Johnson and Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle from Illinois. I don't feel strongly either way.
I don't see the Jackson Powers Johnson thing either. I had a write-up today on allphly.com where we look at the offensive lineman, and I said I'm putting him in this first-round category because he's expected to be a first-round pick, but I can't see the Eagles taking a center prospect in the first round.
He is big enough that he could play guard.
Could play guard. Yeah, I suppose so. So,
I don't think they're taking a center. I think if they were drafting him, they would be drafting him as a guard.
I'll go Newton there.
It's fine with me. Mm-hmm. We'll go Newton 27, Jackson Powers Johnson 28. And another tie to break between Darius Robinson, the flexible in theory defensive lineman from Missouri who could play outside and inside, and Troy Franklin from Oregon, the wide receiver.
Well, I like Troy Franklin here, and I think that
another very cute little bit of kismet. You have one at 30 and 34. I have the other at 30 and 34.
Look at that. We're thinking. I want to dress like you. That's a sharp shirt. Shout out to Josh Tolentino. He says it looks like beach day for you.
Mm. You know what the funniest one is?
What's that?
We both have the exact same number 69.
Who's that?
Austin Booker.
Okay, good
apparently
for you,
we
Austin.
Both have the the same daydreams about Austin Booker.
I don't know what that means, but
I don't know exactly what it means.
So Darius Robinson, we didn't spend much time on him on the edge rusher day because
you have him as just an interior guy.
Yeah, and you view him as an edge.
Yeah, but I think I would see the Eagles trying to sell me on Darius Robinson, like this power that he has. Whereas, I mean, I think they like Troy Franklin too, but I think push come to shove, they would take the defensive lineman.
Yeah, let's do that because Howie Roseman's on record saying that when all things are equal, they're going to take the lineman. Mm. He said that with the Cam Jurgens pick, right? He said when all things are equal, we're going to err on the side of the line of scrimmage. If you say you believe in something, your actions have to show it.
Mm. All right. 31 is going to be Keon Coleman, the Florida State wide receiver. 32 is going to be Cooper Beebe, the Kansas State offensive lineman. 33, another nice little match here. We both have Edgerrin Cooper, the Texas A&M linebacker, at 36. So he will be our number 33 player on our board. You like an Edgerrin Cooper? He was not the highest rated linebacker on my board.
You went Junior Colson?
I did.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like the speed. I like the ability to he's a difference maker in that regard. I mean, yeah, you would want someone bigger in size, but I do like Cooper.
Tell me about Junior Colson, because he's in this next grouping. Yeah. I know you're a Michigan man.
Yes.
You watch a lot of Junior Colson.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Junior Colson. Really liked him.
Like the write-up and everything, the profile reads very well to me and in terms of a guy that the Eagles would like. It's almost like two N'Kobe Dean-ish from like this guy's like this unbelievable character guy, played in the middle of the best defense in college football. It's like a little bit one-to-one. He's a little bit better appropriately sized for the position, right?
Yeah, he does have the size. He has the athleticism. He has the film. There's a lot there. I think you hit it on the head from the N'Kobe Dean part of it. Like the evaluation of linebackers is tough when your defense is so good because things are happening. Like things are designed for you to clean up, right?
That's well said.
So when you have Chris Jenkins in front of you, and you can go
bang.
On with what's that?
Bang.
Bang?
Yeah. Chris Jenkins.
Oh.
Jay Wright.
Okay, yes. Okay, yeah.
Bang.
The other, talking about Michigan's Chris Jenkins.
Yes. Michigan's Chris Jenkins, nicknamed the Mutant.
Yes, he was.
Which, I got to be honest, if you have a nickname like the Mutant, I need to see a little bit more.
No,
like,
okay.
That is.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be like the best athlete on the field or like just some ogre looking body type. I'm not seeing it enough.
You're not seeing enough of Chris Jenkins. Okay, do you know who his dad was?
A man.
Chris Jenkins.
Hmm.
From the Carolina Panthers.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. So I have Colson and Cooper in the same tier.
So why do you go Cooper over Colson?
I don't know if I did. I did.
You don't feel strongly about it.
I'm not,
different type of player.
I'm not pounding the
different
table.
Different type of player.
I'm not pounding
Junior
the Colson
is going to be in the middle of your defense.
Exactly.
Edgerrin Cooper is going to be on the edge. Of your defense,
yes,
right?
There's a
bit of a like poor man's Micah Parsons profile to it because this is a guy who played linebacker, but then all of a sudden had 8 sacks this year for Texas A&M.
Yeah, so you know he can blitz. Yeah,
there you go. All right, so for our purposes, we have a tie between Junior Colson and Roger Rosengarten, the Washington offensive tackle. You'd rather go Colson ahead, and then
I would, but I know you're a big Rosengarten fan.
I'm fine with that. I have no problem with that. So
Rosengarten
comes in at 35.
He had the best 40 time among all the offensive tackles.
All right. Next up, another tie to break here between Jatavion Sanders, the Texas tight end. I have him at 31. You have him at 46, and then Ladd McConkey, the Georgia wide receiver. You have at 35. I have down at 42.
Interesting.
I'm going scarcity. I would push Sanders over McConkey.
Yeah, all right. I'm fine with that. I think Sanders is the second best tight end in the draft. I don't think this is a particularly good tight end draft class, but I'm totally fine with that. When you look at the age profile, excuse me, the production. I can't say the athletic profile because he did not test especially well. But when you watch him, you're like, why didn't he test well? Because he looks athletic on film.
Well said. All right. Well, this is a fun exercise that you can do with your buddies if you want to. You know, set up your own little big boards, average it out, talk it out, and see how it all stacks up. And when you're doing that, you might as well be sucking them back because a lot has changed over the years. But one thing that hasn't is the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it is still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, and the summer's coming up. You want that swimsuit body, right? Well, guess what? Only 96 calories in Miller Lite. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer, less filling, and only 96 calories. The original light beer since 1975, so you can suck them back with your buds. That's a Miller Lite cup for those of you listening and not watching. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/PHLYBirds. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
I'm pumped for Wednesday night. I won't be there at the Sixers game. But if I was able to...
You don't know that yet. You might as well.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm loaded with work this week and next week. But if I wanted to kind of take a few hours to myself and just go to the center... to watch the game, big playoff, a big play-in game, and I didn't have tickets, I would pull up my app and I would go to Game Time. Because buying tickets to your favorite events should not be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. I've been going to the Wells Fargo Center for 20 years or thereabouts, but... you still don't know exactly what the seat view is going to be, right? And so if I wanted to see what that seat view will look like, I could just pull up the app and they show it for you. It's great. That way you're not going to get into a seat that has a bad angle. I love that about Game Time. You can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, just two taps, and you're all set. And the tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PHLY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PHLY for $20 off. Download Game Time. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Yeah, Kyle, I called it the center. I had a little moment there where in my head I'm thinking we have a great sponsor. Who is in the banking industry, and I didn't know if I, but then I'm like, well, it's called the Wells Fargo Center, so I might as well.
You don't owe it to them to call it. I might as well call it that. Just because they pay for it doesn't mean that they're paying you.
I know. So that's why I hesitated.
The center,
but I'm a
How
big,
about just the Sixers Stadium,
the Sixers Arena. There you go. But I'm a big fan of Trumark Financial Credit Union, which sponsors PHLY.
Mm. Okay. All right. We have reached sort of the area now where. The ordering gets a little silly because our rankings tend to diverge pretty wildly. For instance, the next player up is Kamari Lassiter, the Georgia corner, who you have at 27, I have at 51.
Ooh, you're not a Kamari Lassiter fan. Why not? You think he's a slot guy?
Yeah, it's a Georgia corner. Can we get over that, please? Like, let's...
Don't scout the helmet, Bo.
Let's expand our worldview a little bit.
Yeah, scout the player, not the helmet. I like Kamari Lassiter. He plays with an on-field toughness that appeals to me, but...
That's fine.
Okay.
Next up is Roman Wilson, who actually we're relatively close on. I had 48. You had 40. That's the Michigan wide receiver.
Who took a plane to high school, as we talked about.
Thank you.
Yes.
rounding out the top 40 is another player who we diverge on, and that is Mike Sanristil. The Michigan slot, who is, I believe, approaching retirement age.
Okay, I'm pounding the table for Mike Sanristil. He is awesome.
Don't
to
hurt
watch.
Yourself.
Pounding the table.
I mean, he's one spot ahead
yourself.
Of Jonah Ellis, who I would so much rather have on my team.
I think Sanders still, like, he's a winning player. And is he older? Yes. That said, he is
older than dirt.
I mean, you love Troy Faltanu, and he's basically.
I don't love Troy Faltanu.
We had a whole episode with Fran when you and Fran were
I said
football explaining to me why Troy Faltanu is the greatest
from what I watched, but okay. I don't trust my eyes as much as the profile.
Yeah, Mike Sanders still is. I just love the player. I think this is a guy who you have him on the field, he's going to help you win games. And so I feel strongly in.
I mean, you can see the fit on this defense, right? Because he and Vic Fangio obviously went to high school together. They'll have a lot to talk about.
He's not that. What's he? 23, going into age 24 season. Yeah. Look, I hear you. He's just an awesome player. Every time I watch him, I'm left with like a smile on my face. Like, this guy is so much fun to watch. To me,
he's fun to watch.
To me, he's a Red Star player.
Really?
Yes. If I was doing the Red Star part of it, I see Christopher W says I have Andrew Phillips over Sanders still. There's so much Andrew Phillips hype.
You don't see it, huh?
I don't know. Sanders still makes plays like time and time and time again. I just really like Sanders still.
All of this is a very degree of confidence in exactly how these guys are gonna net out. But yeah, like, you know, Mike Sanders still makes a tackle in the open field. There's a part of me that worries he just is gonna disappear into a cloud of dust.
Okay, but I mean, I would rather a 24-year-old who makes plays over a 21-year-old who doesn't.
Okay, well, Joan Ellis makes plays.
Fair enough.
A more important position.
Let's put Joan Ellis above him.
I would push him even up. I would push him ahead of Kamari Lassiter myself.
But. All right, let's do that. That's fine. Edge rusher.
Okay, 38. Yeah. I'm going to put Lassiter at 39.
I have them in the...
Roman Wilson to 40. Sanders to 41.
I have Kamari. When I talk about my tiers, he's alone in my tiers of top of second round corners. But that's not... He's on his own there. So that shows you it's not a great tier at that point. I think if you don't get the corner in the first round, you're probably thinking... late round two, early round three.
All right. I'm not going to, I guess I don't need to go through every single player here as we approach things, but I want to ask you about some of the players that we do have wide differences on. One of them, Tyler Newbin, the Minnesota safety, who I quite like as the top safety on the board. I had him at 33. You have him all the way down at 73.
Yeah. No, he's older.
I'm okay with that at safety.
Look, I don't love this safety class. There's two, so... I think Javon Bullard's the top safety, but the safety who I like really liked, and every time I watched him, I'm like, why isn't this guy getting more attention, is Kalen Bullock from USC. I think Kalen Bullock's like built for football in 2024, but I'm okay with Newbin. I mean, I don't dislike it. After I got past 55, I had a tier where I couldn't tell you 61 to 73 like who I liked more. They're all in kind of that's where you get in the room. If there's someone who feels strongly about the player, then you kind of move it up one way or the other.
Okay, another player who I feel about him sort of like you feel about Drew Phillips, which is like everybody keeps telling me this guy is awesome, and I still need to figure out why. And that's Max Melton from Rutgers. You love Max Melton.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's fast.
No, he's really productive too. And maybe it's just that Shiano defense. I feel like those Shiano, I know you don't scout the helmet. I feel like those Shiano corners though, they just play corner in like a real smart way. When I look at, you know, Logan Ryan and the McCourties, the guys who've come through that system, that's the way I feel about Max Melton. Plus he's localish. So I give a shout out there.
Okay. Another one here that we are different on, Chris Jenkins, the mutant, you have at 38. I had him at 79.
Oh, wow.
I want to see more.
That is a big disparity. Okay.
On the flip side of that, this is a classic Ohio State, Michigan. I have Mike Hall at 39. You have him at 74. This is another defensive lineman.
Yeah, Mike Hall's a little bit Williams-ish to me, which isn't a bad thing. Milt Williams is a good player. But, like, what is he? What he's kind of like a big end slash. So again, without knowing what this Eagles defense is going to look like, I don't quite I don't quite love the fit, but he's what, 20 years old, I think, Mike Hall. And there's a lot to like in terms of the profile. So yeah, I won't push back on Mike Hall. I just, he's kind of like this DN D tackle hybrid.
Mm. Okay, I'll just sort of run down here as we get down this list. So 42 is Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver from South Carolina. 43, Peyton Wilson, the very old and injured NC State linebacker who plays very well when he's healthy.
Yes.
44, we have the first running back off the board. That would be Jonathan Brooks from Texas. 45 is Max Melton.
Wait, real quick. So you had Jonathan Brooks fairly high for the Eagles.
I had him higher than you did. I had him 44 overall. Okay. You had him 58. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Then it comes Rook Aroro from Clemson, defensive tackle. Then Ricky Pearsall, the Florida wide receiver. Then Tyler Newbin at 48. Christian Haynes, the guard from Connecticut at 49. Kieran Amagaji, Vince's number one overall player. The tackle from Yale comes in at 50. 51, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. 52, Braylon Trice, the edge from Washington. 53, Jaden Hicks, the Mississippi State safety. 54, Mike Hall, who we just talked about. 55, Jalen Wright, the second running back. That is the running back from Tennessee. You like a Jalen Wright?
Yeah, I really like Jalen Wright. Jalen Wright, I was thinking of putting him over Jonathan Brooks. He's electric to me. He's a big play guy.
Okay. Next up is Chris Braswell, the edge from Alabama we talked about. Now, what I'm doing here, because of what you said, is if there's a tie, I'm giving it to the line of scrimmage.
Good.
That's okay.
Yep.
57, Javon Bullard from Georgia, the safety. 58, the mutant, Chris Jenkins. 59, Jalen Polk, the wide receiver from Washington, who I was higher on.
Yep.
And you, no surprise. Then you were higher on Blake Fisher, who comes next, the tackle from Notre Dame. He goes at 60.
Yeah, I think Blake Fisher is the type of guy that the Eagles would profile, because when you talk about development, you talk about versatility. He has the skills in his body. They're critical factors, as Jeff Stoutland likes to say, and I think the Eagles can develop those factors.
How do you feel about tools in the body? I actually don't think that it's that bad.
I don't either. Why? Do people push back on that?
I think it's like a shield takes umbrage at tools in the body. I don't know. It seems fine.
Yeah. It's a succinct way to explain something.
I mean, I don't know if it's succinct, but yeah.
Yeah.
You just say toolsy.
I was talking about a player with my son over the weekend, and I talked about his arm length, and Reed looked at me like, like, what does that mean? And so that's where I have, like, sometimes you get too into the weeds and you just say, oh yeah, this guy's got 34 inch arms, as if like someone's supposed to take that information and do
know
something
what that
with
means
it.
Yeah okay. All right, let's go a little bit further here. Now, the first player here or the highest rated player that you had that was not in my top 80, your 28th overall player, that is Jordan Morgan, the offensive lineman from Arizona, who I just do not see it with, and I feel like the Eagles will not be Jordan Morgan fans.
Interesting. Okay. I put him in there because of the position and the position versatility. I don't know. I don't have a strong – that's one of those where you're trying to think like the Eagles instead of thinking for yourself. Like, I didn't want to take him off the board if he's going in that range and he's that type of player. But because he's projected to go bottom round one, top round two.
Yeah, I don't know that I see that. Like, I mean, I know that that's
so that's my point. That's where, like
a guy who struggles with power and is projected to move to guard. Like, I don't know.
I mean, he was a really good player at Arizona.
He looks to me like the worst of Andre Dillard.
Okay. We did the whole offensive tackle show, and we did not talk about him. So that says, like, I didn't feel strongly about him. Clearly, you don't feel strongly about him. I just view it almost like, all right, this is where he's going to go. The Eagles are looking for tackle guard versatile guys. He's a tackle guard versatile guy.
Okay. Next.
But again, I'm not pounding the table for him.
That's fine. I mean, this is just an exercise.
Yes.
64 is Trey Benson, the Florida State wide receiver.
Running back.
65 is our Mr. 69 himself, Austin Booker. Welcome onto the show, Austin. We'll get a little menage going. We'll get a bed and see how things go. We'll make it a veritable lemon party. All right. Marshawn Kneeland, 66, who I also like. I think both of us
don't like
are
him.
A little bit skeptical of Marshawn Kneeland, but this is one where it's like everybody's telling me he's going to go in the top two rounds. I guess he's got to be in here somewhere.
And the Eagles brought him in, right? So
yes.
The fact that they brought him, they're not doing it just to give him freaking flyer miles, right? Mm.
True.
Yeah.
Was I supposed to sell that better? Was that...
No, okay. I was making the point that if we're doing a board for the Eagles and they brought him in, then he's clearly on the Eagles' radar.
Mm. 67 is Ennis Rakestraw from Missouri, who I also, you had at 69 or 39, rather, I did not have in my top 80.
You didn't like him?
No, I did not like Ennis Rakestraw. No. Drew Phillips, the Kentucky corner, comes in at 68. The actual 69 is going to be Zach Frazier, the offensive lineman from West Virginia, who is my highest ranked player, who you did not have.
Yeah.
Followed by Cole Bishop.
Do you think the Eagles are taking a center only guy?
I think you would, the expectation is he could play guard. That's
okay.
Yeah. We can keep going through the next 10 just to round this out. Tavondre Sweat, the big defensive tackle from Texas at 71. Again, not in mine, nor was Mason Smith from LSU, who I really wanted to like, but that's a player where I feel like the Eagles' risk tolerance there would not have him that high on their board.
Yeah, sorry, Shiel. Tools in the body. That's Mason Smith.
I like him from that perspective.
That's what
but
I'm saying.
But if this is one where if I am divorcing myself from the Eagles, I don't think he would be their kind of player.
I just think if you have time to develop a player, this is the kind of player you want to develop because, look, he looks the part. To use a Nick Sirianni expression, you want Mason Smith coming off the bus first, right? He's like 6'6", 310, plays like with his freshman. He was not good the past 2 years. His freshman year, he jumped out. Big time recruit.
Yes.
And Tavondre Sweat, he's your back.
You're looking for a Jordan Davis replacement.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's Tavondre Sweat.
Okay. Everybody else here is going to be somebody who was on one of our lists and not the others. So just to run it down, Tommy Eichenberg, the linebacker from Ohio State. Malachi Corley, the wide receiver from Western Kentucky. Keaton Oladapo, the safety from Oregon State.
I like him.
TJ Tampa, the cornerback from Iowa State. Kalen Bullock, your boy, the safety from USC. Jarvis Brownlee, the cornerback from Louisville. Adisa Isaac, the edge from Penn State. Patrick Paul, the tackle from Houston, rounds out our top 80.
Okay. Is there anyone who is in your top 50 who's not in our top 80?
No. Anybody who is in either of our top 50s would make that top 80.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm good with that list. I mean, there's some guys who I clearly, like I had Zach Zinter and Tanner Bornolini.
I had Zach Zinter. Zinter's in here. Zinter was at 62.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Did we mention Jaden Hicks?
You do not have Jaden Hicks.
I had him at 75.
No, yeah, Hicks is at 53.
Hicks at 53. Okay. And then Braden Fisk. Did you mention him?
Yes. He was at 61.
61. Okay.
There you go.
I'm happy with that list. I'm looking forward to our corner show. I feel like there's going to be some healthy disagreements on the corners.
Well, I'm looking forward to our safety show, Zach.
Yeah. I mean, I think Kalen Bullock, I need a cut of his first contract because I'll be talking this guy up.
But I'm looking forward to our safety show, Zach, because tomorrow is our safety show.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes. Tomorrow's our safety show. We will be discussing the safeties in this draft. The Eagles signed CJ Gardner-Johnson, of course. This is still a position where long-term the Eagles could be on the market. And it's not a great safety class, but we'll get into all these options. We should have a special guest with us. And then we will also have some Eagles news trickling out over the next few days for Eagles perspective.
At some point this week, we're supposed to talk to Howie Roseman, right? Before the draft.
Yep.
So whether that happens tomorrow or a different day, we will obviously talk to you about it after it happens. But tomorrow we're having Devin Jackson from the Inquirer, their draft specialist, who's going to join us in studio. So we're looking forward to that. And much more to come as the week goes on and our attention narrows in on next Thursday night's draft. That'll do it for this episode of the PHLY Eagles podcast. Thanks to Bree for stepping in. Dynamite job. Thanks to everybody for watching and listening. Thank you, Zach. And for all of us here at PHLY, we will talk to you tomorrow at noon. And as always, we love you. Y'all silly like the mayor.